All right, welcome back to the second hour of our best of Let's Talk Hookup show. Again, Merry Christmas. This is not a live show, so please don't call, please don't text, but we're just enjoying some old classic Let's Talk Hookups that I dug out of the archives there. But before we move on to the next one, which is a really good one, I want to thank our great sponsors that help us make Let's Talk Hookup possible for so many years. There's many, many of them, and when you listen to the show, you hear their ads. And I'm so grateful to our listeners that respond and use our sponsors and then mention that they heard it on Let's Talk Hookup, and that really helps us a lot and helps them, too, reinforce that Let's Talk Hookup's working for them, too. So thanks to all the sponsors that make Let's Talk Hookup possible for the 31-plus years we've been on the air, and looking forward to many, many more. I also want to thank the listeners. The listeners are what really make it possible. The callers, the texters, and all those people that participate. It's your show. Rick and I are facilitators, and then the stars are our guests, our many, many guests, and we want to thank them, too. But really, the listeners and the callers and the texters are really what make the show happen. So thank you very much for that. Also, I want to thank Pat and Bill from the radio station, the Mightier 1090 AM. Thanks to Bill for bringing back that great station. And thanks to Pat for all his years of help and support and keeping us on the air there and making things possible. And, of course, the guys over at Sports Grid. Want to thank Christian and JP for manning the phones every weekend for us, and all the guys, Mike and George, and all the guys at Sports Grid that make it possible for us to be on the air. And then, of course, last but not least, of course, our main man, Adam Clark. Couldn't do it without him. He is behind the app, on the archives, and behind everything that's helped Let's Talk Hookup be successful. Our website master, Chad from designerchad.com. He's such a great guy and does a great job on our website. But Adam really kind of puts it all together for us. And so, Adam Clark, here's to you, and thanks very much to you. Hey, let's move on to a show that aired February 5th, 2011. And it was The Fabulous Fishing Hightowers. Of course, Big Daddy Richard Hightower is no longer with us, and we miss that guy very, very much. But Dale Hightower, his son, was there. Marty coined the phrase, The Fabulous Fishing Hightowers, and it stuck with him. But here it is from February 5th, 2011, The Fabulous Fishing Hightowers. Richard Hightower and Dale Hightower. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on Double X 1090. Pete Gray here. As I said, Rock Codrick's taking a little day off today. Hey, but I've got a couple of great guests in the studio. Of course, Marty Milner coined them the Fabulous Fishing Hightowers, and we should probably stick with that because they are fabulous fishing guys. Richard Hightower, Dale Hightower, the Fabulous Fishing Hightowers. Welcome.
Good morning, Pete.
Yeah, you remember that?
Absolutely.
Marty
yes.
called you the Fabulous Fishing Hightowers. That's
miss
probably,
that guy.
I miss him too, for sure. He's still around, you know.
I talked
to his son quite a bit, Stuart, and Marty's doing fine. Just retired at home and kind of hanging out.
Yeah.
So still
retired.
Out there.
That's good.
Now, this was supposed to be. Did you tell him?
No.
No. This was supposed to be the Big Daddy Hightower roast today.
Oh.
And
no.
Dale and I were going to set this whole thing up where we're going to have guys calling in, just roasting you for your retirement here. And it just didn't work out. You know, with busy schedules and. You know, now keep in mind, there were plenty of people that were going to call in and roast on you.
Oh, I'm sure
I kind of lined up a few, and they're, oh, yeah, man, I'm on it. But we're just going to talk fishing today instead
good.
Of roasting
like
the Big Daddy. Is that okay?
That's a good deal.
I don't know. What do you think?
We can still roast him.
Yeah, we can still roast him a little bit. And if there's anybody out there that knows Big Daddy's been fishing with him and wants to throw in a few retirement roasts, you're retiring.
Yes, I'm going to be taking a different role with the company and... Dale will be the head principal, the Big Daddy.
He'll be
the new Big Daddy.
Okay.
I'm going to continue on with Newell as far as the sales manager part.
Okay.
I want to see it to the end on it.
All right.
Make sure everything's proper. I've been with Newell for almost 30 years now.
I didn't know that you were still hanging out there since Carl was gone.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
No. I'm still there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's exciting.
Yeah. Now, the new people at Newell, what's going on there? What are they doing?
Well, he's not shipping. That's number one.
He's not shipping.
That's scary.
That's a problem.
For a salesman, it's a problem. But what he's doing retooling and the whole bit, mm-hmm. and making sure that the product going out there is class A1.
Mm-hmm.
And we just got back from Hawaii, and that's one of our bigger markets over there.
Yeah.
And they were all pleased with the quality that's coming out of the new facility now. So engineering-wise, Keith Gross is the owner, and that's my problem. He's kind of like Carl, you know, just wants to make it better.
He's a scientist.
He's a scientist.
Yeah.
Right. Engineer.
Engineer.
So I'm his nightmare like I was Carl's nightmare.
It's the same role, just a different character, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I went over to Hawaii and flew on Hawaiian Airlines a few months ago, and they had an article in there, and I'm not sure you saw that article about fishing from the surf.
Right.
About their giant Alua fishing, and every reel that those guys fish off the rocks there is a Newell reel.
That's right.
What's the story on that?
Well, I mean, it got started probably 25 years ago. It was just lightweight and for the casting ability.
You know?
So that's where that went, and I went over there to show them a new reel that we're coming out with, and first thing out of their mouth, we don't like it. Oh, what do you mean you don't like it? Well, it doesn't have the lugs. It was a topless version.
Oh.
And no lugs. And what they do, you know, they strap into their rod holders out there with rope onto the lugs up there.
Right.
So we need to
gotta put the lugs on. You gotta get the lugs in there.
Oh yeah.
Well, so now you're kind of taking a step back at H&H Outdoor Markets, which you guys represent numerous companies. Which companies you represent?
We do Seaguar, Usuri, Hayabusa, Newell, Catchy Tackle, Fishworks. And that's on the conventional side.
And then on the fly fishing side.
Fly fishing side, we got a lot of companies too. We do Winston fly rods, Able reels, Scientific Anglers, Patagonia. We also do Fish Pond, and then a few other small accessory companies.
Yeah. So some pretty top of the line companies across the board, both conventional as well as fly.
Yeah, it keeps us busy 24/7.
Yeah. So you're gonna take the reins as. You pretty much kind of been doing the reins here for the last couple of years, right?
Yeah. He's kind of integrated me into all aspects of the business over the last 2 years. So trying to have a seamless transition.
Yeah. Of course, the first time we met was at Bob Marriott's fly fishing store. You worked at Bob Marriott's, and you were the guy that taught me, put a fly rod in my hand and taught me how to cast.
Yeah, and you're still doing it. So.
Well, still doing it. Yeah. I don't know how good a caster I am, but my goal for 2011, after being in New Zealand and casting with some of these New Zealanders that are just phenomenal fly casters. My goal is to be a better caster in 2011 with the fly rod. I really want to work on that talent. So.
Yeah, I always tell everybody, you know, the casting is just a part of the sport. But, you know, obviously the more you work on your casting, the better fisherman you are.
Yeah.
You know, and I always told everybody I, you know, worked real hard to be a good caster, not to impress anybody. But to catch more fish.
To catch more fish, yeah. And that's my thing is to catch more fish.
Right.
You put the fly where you want it to go.
When you can do that, then you can concentrate on actually catching the fish.
You don't have to worry about how your cast is.
Exactly.
Or untangling knots and things like that.
Right. And it's the same deal in, you know, saltwater. You know, throwing a jig or throwing a live bait. You know, you practice and get good at that so that you can catch more fish.
Absolutely, yeah. So on to Seaguar. Of course, Seaguar is the premier fluorocarbon in the world, really.
Yeah, there's very few companies that you know you can say out there that are the best at what they do, and this company is absolutely head and tails above everybody else in the fluorocarbon production business. They invented the product. They're going to be celebrating their 40th year this year in making fluorocarbon, and they're vertically integrated, so they make their own raw material resins that they formulate for fluorocarbon production of fishing line. And they make their own product. They feature dual structure, which we use in our big game leader material, some of our mainline, and our fly fishing tippet material, which no one else in the world does. And that market continues to grow. And the company's product speaks for the growth. I mean, as you know, if people are dissatisfied with their line, they don't rebuy it. And this company can, even in this, you know, economy, continues to grow leaps and bounds over the previous year.
Wow. They developed fluorocarbon. They invented it.
They invented the product. They are the inventors of fluorocarbon. The parent company is called Kreha, and they use fluorocarbon in many different commercial applications. One of the benefits, as we all know, fluorocarbon is its refraction rate is closest to water. So 40 years ago, they started making lines, and it's gotten better and better over the years. And the technology that these guys bring to the marketplace, hands down, is the best technology in the world.
They created something called double structure technology in fluorocarbon. Explain that.
Well, double structure is a process that they is exclusive to Seaguar. I believe they own the worldwide patent on it as well. They're able to use two different fluorocarbon resins and fuse those together to have an inner and outer coating of different resins that's fused together and makes one solid piece. So it's not a coating. It's actually a fusion process. And because of the process, they're able to tailor higher break strengths, better knot strengths, better abrasion resistance. It just gives them the ability to make a better product. And no one else in the world that makes fluorocarbon uses dual structure technology.
Yeah, just makes it superior to anything else that's on the market.
Absolutely. And not all of our products, you know, I always make sure not all of our products are dual structure. Our big game leader material is dual structure. Our Tatsu mainline, which is our newest product on the mainline business, is dual structure. Our Grandmax tippet material is dual structure. And that's, you know, that's kind of has to do with price as well. A lot of people look at a product of ours like Invisex that retails for about $20 for 200 yards. And then they look at our blue label leader material and they say, you know, I can get how much for $20, 25 yards? And the difference is dual structure is a much more expensive process to make fishing line. So,
It's stronger.
It's stronger, better knot strength, better abrasion. And
easier knot tying.
Yep. And they can just tailor the characteristics to the fishery.
Yeah. Tatsu, you mentioned that name. That stuff is incredible.
The best of the best.
The best of the best.
Yeah.
It's a freshwater line.
Yeah, we make
but
it.
But I've been using it in the bay for fish in the bay. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, we make it 4 through 20 pound. It comes on a 200-yard spool. It's about $40 to $50 a spool. It's dual-structure technology. And Tatsu in Japanese means dragon.
Dragon.
Yeah, and it is everybody that's fished that line. You'll tell you that it's worth every penny that they spent on it.
And people are bass fishermen are fishing it as a main line.
Yeah, it's a main line. In some situations, the bass guys are doing what the saltwater guys have been doing for quite some time, is they're top shotting with it.
Uh-huh.
So they're filling up their reels with braid, and they'll put 50 yards of Tatsu on top of it. So kind of saves the pocketbook when you're talking about the price of Tatsu.
Yeah.
And as most people know that, you know, on a freshwater reel, you're pretty much not needing 200 yards of line on the reel.
No. What is it about Tatsu that makes the bass fishermen so excited about it?
Well, it's very soft. It lays very nice on a spinning or casting reel,
mm-hmm.
which is number one. And that's part of the dual structure is they're able to make it a very low memory line. High knot strength, which is, you know, I tell everybody, you can make a super strong tensile strength fluorocarbon, but if it doesn't hold a fishing knot, it's not worth
anything.
Not worth
it, yeah.
And there's products out there on the market that that are like that, that have very high tensile strength, but they don't hold a knot well. So super, you know, super excellent knot strength. Also, its tensile strength is off the scale, and that's part of that dual structure, is they're able to make that inner coating have that high tensile strength. The outer, you know, the outer part of the dual process gives you that softness and it gives you that knot strength. So
yeah.
Every aspect of it, it's a tough line, it's a soft line, it's got great knot strength and great unbelievable tensile strength.
The other thing about fluorocarbon in general, and not just Tatsu, but also just general Seaguar, is it sinks, right?
Yeah, it's got a density that's more than water. So I always tell her it's, you know, part of the advantage, I think, of fluorocarbon that people don't recognize is that it doesn't, I call it like retard the bait, it doesn't keep the bait up in the water column.
Yeah.
It keeps it down. So guys that are bass fishing that are, you know, drop shotting or fishing, you know, plastic worms, the fluorocarbon's actually helping the sink rate of the bait. And I even believe that in saltwater when you're out there fishing and you throw a bait in the water with a top shot of fluorocarbon, the bait doesn't have to fight the air bubbles that are in regular nylon fishing line.
Yeah, and that makes it more effective for certain types of fishing.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No question about it. Now tell us about, for us saltwater guys, you've trained him pretty well there, Big Daddy.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad.
The guy knows his stuff.
You know, he's been working with me. He's 45 years old now. He's probably been working with me for about 40 years.
40 years.
Whether it was this profession or my previous profession.
Yeah.
So he's been tagging along all the way.
Now, and your other sons, of course, work in the biz, too?
Yes, I have three other sons. Stephen, who is my number two son, he works for Daiwa. He's
right.
My competitor. And
been in the biz a long time.
Right.
He's
and
a great guy.
Brian works at Marriott's Fly Shop. He's one of the managers over there. And then Jason, my number four son, he works with Dale and I. So, you know.
Everybody's in the biz.
Yeah, I tried to convince them to do something different, but their passion for fishing is there. You know,
there's something about that, right? Yeah. Seaguar Fluoro Premier, which you've brought some in to give away today, that stuff is amazing. I mean, once you start using Fluoro Premier, my feeling is in saltwater you can't go any other way.
Yeah, it's the next level up from Blue Label.
Yeah.
The Blue Label's the probably most well-known saltwater product on the market by Seaguar, and it's been a standard for literally a couple of decades. And so what Fluoro Premier brings to the market over Blue Label is it's about 10% smaller per diameter. So if you compare 20-pound Blue Label to 20-pound Fluoro Premier, the Premier is going to be smaller diameter for the same break strength. And as we all know that, part of getting bit in fishing is smaller diameter.
Yes.
So you get that. It's got a little more stretch than our Blue Label. It's a little softer, and it's got better knot tying capabilities and knot strength. So it's not a lot more. I mean, it's not twice as expensive as Blue Label. It's about, 10 to 15% more. So
yeah.
But it's an incredible product. It's it's really the high grade for the saltwater fisherman.
The things I like about it that I've used are just those that you talked about. The knot strength is superior. I mean, you tie a knot in this thing, they hold. And then the diameter.
Mm-hmm.
Diameter is really nice. It actually is smaller. And then the strength, of course. The most important thing is the strength and abrasion resistance. It's really true what you say. Is that the double structure technology?
Yeah, they do double structure. One of the things with double structure is once you get to a certain size of line, the dual structure doesn't work. So I believe that the cutoff's about 80 or 100 pound, and then it gets back into single structure. So any of the Blue Label or Fluoro Premier products that's about 100 pound or below is going to be dual structure. And there's a point where the dual structure doesn't help because of the large diameter.
Wow, wasn't that fun to hear the fabulous Fishing Hightowers again? Okay, here's one from the same year, 2011, but July 24th. And here's a guy that's also no longer with us, Dennis Braid from Braid Products, a creator, inventor of so many different things, and quite a character, too, and an amazing fisherman. He traveled all over the world and fished all over the world and always brought some really good insight to us at Let's Talk Hookup. Always enjoyed having Dennis on the show. So here's an excerpt from July 24th, 2011, with Dennis Braid from Braid Products.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on XX 1090. You can tell it's going to be a good show because even during the break here, I'm so busy looking at all the toys that Dennis brought in. I mean, you want to talk about a guy that knows some cool stuff, man. It's going to be a fun show today.
He is innovative, isn't he? And has a lot of different types of products. And it's all from doing what we call field research, right, Dennis?
Yeah, this guy does it.
Yeah.
This guy lives
that's
it.
What everybody doing for fun is what we do for a living.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. Good morning, fun. Dennis. Great to have you on the
it's
show.
Great to be here, guys.
Good to have you. Really
you were just showing Ricky about the new popping and jigging leaders that you have.
This is an area that we've been looking at for a couple of years. Matter of fact, set up a international sales offices in Taipei in Taiwan, and a lot of our Asian pro staffers, Japanese pro staffers, have been working on, popping and jigging. Jigging in particular has become very popular over the last few years, but the popping end of it for the last several years in other parts of the world is just going off the charts. And if you've never seen a 100, 200, 300, 400 pound yellowfin crashing on the surface or a big GT, I mean, nothing gets your blood flowing like when you got something like that.
You don't like that, you're in the wrong sport.
Yeah. So to take things into a whole different, to a different level, they designed these new leaders, which you only get a couple of wraps onto the reel. One of the biggest problems with throwing pop is, of course, you need distance. And if you've got line or leader on the spool of your line, it creates memory, and you've got those loops coming through the guides when you make a cast. Obviously, you're going to lose some distance in there. But the way these are designed, there's no memory in there at all. Nothing comes off the spool. And then we have the braided plat knot about 6 inches long, and in some cases tripled up, right where the knot section is, where the connection is. And the reason you need that there is these big fish, that's where the most tension is right at the knot or the connection to your hook or your bait. And also with the braided plat knot, it provides a lot of abrasive resistance, you know, for the teeth.
But these
fish coming from all different angles, you know, they bite the line, the leader, maybe before they get the popper in their mouth. So that's the reason that they're designed that way.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. And you're fishing, okay, I see you have this rigged on a spinning reel, a.k.a. coffee grinder, and a short rod.
I think I hate that term. Some numb-nutted guy come up with that a long time ago, and it's stuck, and I don't know why.
Well, but, okay, so here's the question. Can you land with force a big tuna on a spinning outfit?
Well, if you say they're catching giant trevally up to and over 100 pounds on these, and they are ferocious fighters. And the guys up in the Northeast are catching bluefin up to, you know, 250 pounds.
Wow.
On these, on jigged rods and popping rods. Of course, the true popping rod, this is a shorter one, rod right here, but we've got 7.5 and 8.5 of the real big ones that you're throwing for distance. So to answer your question, yes. Now, our fish out here that we're probably, you're going to make a comparison, I bet someone's going to bring this up during the course of the show, but big yellowfin, that people are going to try this, and it's going to be a lot of fun. 200-pound yellowfin on gear like this can be done. I think it just may take a little bit longer, but
I never would have believed it until I fished Pesca Panama and found out, first of all, that you can't really properly use a popper on the surface without a spinning reel. Would you agree with that?
It's very difficult to get the action. You know, you just don't get, you haven't got the gearing in there, and it's just very difficult.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then once you have the right spinning reel, then you can land big fish, big tuna, on a spinning reel.
Well,
and I never would have believed that.
You got the drag pressure. There's several companies out there. We all know who they are that are building.
Sure.
You know, some of the bigger reels.
The top of the line, it's going to
cost you money,
like,
but
that,
you want the best of anything. It's just going to cost.
Right. Because of the drag system.
I think the drag. Well, the overall construction of these reels. Built to design, I mean, to withstand the pressures the force that's coming off the tip of the rod. You can have a reel that'll take 40 pounds of drag pressure, but the innards of the reel won't stand up.
Right,
it's going
to
explode. You know, there's a lot goes into it, and if people wonder, well, the reel costs like $600-$700. Well, that's how much it costs to make.
Or maybe $1,000.
Maybe
when it comes to something.
Whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you're not prepared to spend that, and you want to spend something less, be prepared for your stuff to break or blow up.
Right.
You know,
you
then go buy a second one.
Yeah.
You can drive to work on a moped, or you can drive there in a Ferrari. But if you're wanting to go 200 miles an hour, you're not going to do it on a moped.
Yeah, that's
exactly
true.
What big that's fish true. Gear is all about. You know, I mean, you don't need to spend everything just to go fishing. But if you're going to, you know, if you're going to do like what you're trying to describe, catch a giant tuna fish on a spinning reel, you got to have a Ferrari to do it with.
Yeah.
The whole thing is, though,
is
the concept of enticing a fish. You know, if you're live bait fishing, you've got a live bait out there. You know, if the fish are going to bite, you know that you're going to get bit sooner or later, that something's going to come up and crush that bait and eat it. But if you've got, you know, a surface bait and if you're doing it wrong, you're not going to get bit. You're doing it right, and it's a learning process, you know, and it can change at any time during the day. Sometimes you may have to speed that lure up a little bit, that popper up a little bit. Maybe you have to pull it just a little faster, a little harder, and the hesitation in between jerks or thrust with the rod, you know, you just have to let it sit and to see it. One of the most recent TV shows we did up Prince Edward Island, I had this popper on a spinning rod. For anybody that never saw it, I make a cast out there, and the first yank I make on the rod, I got a 900-pound tuna full body out of the water on a little 4-inch pop. I took the hooks off it, of course.
You're not crazy. I'm insane, but I'm not crazy.
Wow. I mean, yeah. Full body out of the water, and then I had fish just crash all the way to the boat, 6 feet from the boat. And, yeah, just absolutely.
Where was that?
Prince Edward Island.
Which is where?
Canada.
Nova Scotia area?
Well, yeah. Yeah, it's on the back. It's on the east side of.
If you haven't seen
west side, sorry.
That video that he's talking, it is like the single coolest thing you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah. I mean, 900 pounds.
Oh yeah, yeah,
unbelievable.
Cartwheeling right out of the water, trying to eat this little 4-inch popper.
Yeah. Have you actually caught bluefin like that?
Yeah, I got the biggest one I got last year was 1,047. It was 116 by 84.
I dropped
one bigger than that just before that, with the 200-pound leader broke.
No. Wow.
Yeah, it broke. Yeah, it was, there was, I sent it back to the company and I said, yeah, it was, you know, it was, it was.
They send you a note back saying, yeah, it was a 1,000-pound fish.
Well, that,
I know,
you know,
I'm kidding.
The boat that I fish on there, he wanted to, and this is a whole different story, but he wanted to start charters up there, and I said, you know, I can get people up here, but I don't think they're going to go for just bringing a fish up beside the boat and just cutting them off. And he said, well, what do you do? And I said, cut a hole in the back of your boat. And he was a little hesitant to do that, but I get up there the following year, and he's cut this, like, 45-inch tuna door in the back of me and flushed the boat.
Whoa.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. So it's all hinged and everything. So we could just, start, you know, 1,000-pound fish. You just hook them right in the lower jaw and slide them right
slide
in the boat.
In.
We tape them out, spin them around, and shoot them, you know.
So you have to let them
in their mouth.
You have to let them go.
Yeah, with, if it's not in quota.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, if it's out of quota, you can't do it.
Wow.
But
that must just be insane. Of course, you're not catching them on a spinning rod and reel like you brought it.
No.
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 What do you? What kind of tackle you catching?
I use 80 wides.
80 wides?
Yeah.
200-pound test?
150 is fine. 150 and then 130.
Spectra.
Yeah, 130-pound minor top shot.
Wow.
And then if we're chunking for them, we use 150-pound fluorocarbon leader. But if I got them right up beside the boat, I'll use 500-pound. I just drop the bait up. We just take a gaff hook with a rubber band and hold the leader and just hold it out from the side of the boat. You know, they'll fight over it.
Jeez.
Whoa.
You know, the wildest thing I ever seen up there once, and nobody saw it except me, but the following year we went up there and shot a show. These gannets come down, and they're after the chunks of the herring we're throwing out. And this gannet came down and grabbed it right beside the boat at the same time. This bluefin came along, got not only get the herring, but he bit both his legs off.
Bit the bird.
Away. It floated out over the horizon. Yeah, but
wow.
The following year... We got this on tape. He didn't get his feet, but he got like right at his claws. He just ready to pick up this herring, and this fish come right out and just crash right underneath
him.
It was about a half inch from losing both his feet.
Wow,
unbelievable!
Yeah,
pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah.
How many time? What time of the year is that fishery?
July through October.
So right now.
Yeah, they come in there. They migrate back up there from the Mediterranean and the Gulf. They move back up into there in late June. And then they're gone by October. They head back off to the Mediterranean and back down the Gulf to spawn.
You do a lot of long-range trips out of San Diego,
uh-huh.
And there's nothing that replaces long-range. It's
no.
Absolutely the greatest
no.
thing in the world.
Yeah.
You've hooked a lot of big tuna. How does a yellowfin tuna compare, big yellowfin tuna, a giant yellowfin tuna, compare to a giant bluefin?
Well, big yellowfin tuna off the West Coast here, a very, very tough fish, extremely tough. You can't compare them to a bluefin. Even though it's a tuna, it's a different animal altogether. Like, bluefin live to be 30 years old, so a 200-pound yellowfin and a 200-pound bluefin are completely different stages of their life. So a 200-pound bluefin is no trouble at all. When I first started fishing giants back east, it was 1996, and... Off North Carolina, and we were catching them back there. One day we had 51 on our boat. There was only 4 anglers.
Wow!
I had 21 of them, between 200 and 500 pound, and
oh.
I was getting 250 pounders in 12 minutes. So you can if you really whip them when you get on them. But
yeah.
But the difference is a bluefin. The same fish can be two different fish pre and post spawn. It's two different stages of the year. Can be a completely different fish to fight.
Really?
Yeah. You get a post-spawn fish that's moving into Prince Edward Island up there in like in July, that's just finished a migratory run, coming in there to feed up, fatten up on the herring. The first time I fished up there, we were out up for the first day, and I was talking to the captain. He says, yeah, one of his buddies is hooked up over there. He's been on this fish for 5 hours, and they got it a half hour later. That fish went about a little over 550 pounds.
Whoa.
I thought, oh, my God.
What am I in for?
Yeah, what am I in for here? You know, so, you know, I hooked a fish later in that day, and I spent about an hour on it, and I think that fish went about 780. But later in the year, you know, I've hooked and fought three over 1,000 pounds, I think, up there. But they fight completely different to yellowfin. Like, and people say, well, it's a shallow water. Well, we're in 200 feet of water, but don't forget when we're at Hurricane Bank, we're fighting yellowfin in 250,
yeah,
300 feet of water.
Sure.
I don't care how deep, you still got to pull them up. They're not going to swim up, yeah, to the surface and wink.
Do
at
they
you.
Do giant circles,
no,
like yellowfin? They don't.
No.
Really?
Oh. No, they don't. Well, you're fighting a big blue. Yeah, it's a yellowfin, especially on a private boat, is very, very easy to analyze and beat. Pretty quickly, you know, yeah, on a private boat. These fish, the big bluefin, they come to the boat, they're straight up, they're perpendicular, they're straight up and down until you get them where they're about 8 feet from the boat is where they'll give up, 8 to 10 feet.
And then you
prior
just come
to
up?
That, they are just, they want to kill you.
Yeah. Yeah. But they don't do circles.
No.
No circles. Interesting.
Yeah, they'll be swimming all up. They're more
change directions.
It might look like they're doing a circle. They might go around this, you know, clockwise a little bit, and then they'll about face and then spin around the other way. That's, you have to be very careful. I lost a really, really big fish up there the year before last. I busted up a wind on lip, actually a wind on lip 5 feet into the spectra come out. What happened was it wasn't any fault of the operator or the way the equipment was put together. It was the boat operator. Because you're fishing on those boats, they're 45 foot long, but 30 feet is the cockpit of the boat. And so you've got a mate beside you, you've got a captain that's a long way away, so you have to yell. And he was running the boat forward, and I had this fish like about 10 feet under the boat, and I was right back there in the corner, and the fish started to make a swing to my left, and I yelled back to the captain. I said, go forward, you know, yell forward. I turned around, there was no one there, and I turned around, and he was standing right beside me. So and the fish had made a radical counterclockwise circle underneath the boat, rolled me over, rolled the rod over, completely upside down almost, and the whipping on the end of the wind on line went down the side of the guides and tore all the half hitches off.
Oh.
So and that loosened the whole.
And you're doing all this stand up.
Yeah.
Wow, another great one to hear Dennis's voice again, wasn't it? Now here's another guy, unfortunately, that's no longer with us. A super good close friend of mine, Jack Nielsen from Accurate Fishing Products, and he brought his buddy Mark Rayer from Gen Ren Sport Fishing. At that time, Mark was still in business down at Gen Ren in the East Cape, and Jack and Mark were quite the characters. It was the first time Mark was on the show, but Jack was an old hat at it, and we always enjoyed having Jack. Boy, I miss that guy a lot. So this is a show from January 28th, 2012. It's Jack Nielsen from Accurate Fishing Products and Mark Rayer from Gen Ren Sport Fishing. Please enjoy.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on Double X 1090. Pete, you weren't kidding. Today is going to be a great show.
We're going to have, oh, excuse me.
Right?
We're going to have lots of fun there.
Yeah.
Indeed, we have good buddies and a new guy that's actually a good buddy, too, that he's never been. I don't think Mark, have you ever been on Let's Talk Hookup before?
I've called in, but I've
you've
never,
call, yeah,
never
you've
been
called
in
the
studio.
Several times, yeah. And you brought your coach along.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Captain Jack Nielsen.
Kimi.
Yeah. From Accurate. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And when I talk about Jack, I use that term loosely.
Very.
No, actually, Jack's quite a gentleman.
Yeah, it's like, good morning, gentlemen, and you too, Jack.
Yeah. Of course. Now, what did Dell ever call you a gentleman?
I can go to a list of things I was called by Dell. How much time do we have? I don't know that gentleman ever came up, though.
Yeah. And, of course, Mark, you know, we certainly live the memories of Del Marsh all the times, good times we had. And you had a lot of good times down in the East Cape with Del, I'll bet, huh? A
lot of really good times.
Yeah.
I miss him every day.
Yeah, I'll bet. It's, so do I. And, I, you know, I have kind of – a little memorial to Dell in my garage that I kind of look at. He built one. You know, you have the Dell mirror. Do you have one of the Dell Marsh mirrors?
Oh, I do. I have one on the boat.
Do you?
I do, yeah. Absolutely.
My wife said it doesn't belong in the house, so I have a little...
Well, mine's in the boat.
I have a little dedication to Dell in my garage. Yeah. It's a Dell Marsh made mirror, for sure.
I have the CalStar rod lamp also, but that's a shop.
Oh, okay. But, you know, these are memories of Dell that we have. And, a lot of good ones.
A lot of good ones.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Good buddy.
No kidding. So, Mark, of course... Many, 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 many times our listeners and as well as myself have dove with you in the East Cape with your other business, Vista Seasports. And like I say, I was just telling you about diving in Bonaire earlier this month. Diving in the East Cape at Cabo Pulmo is some of the best in the world.
I believe it is. I did not realize that when I moved to the East Cape 21 years ago. And I'm just so fortunate to have been able to experience that and watch that reef be protected and watch it get better and better. It's just, the Sea of Cortez is magnificent, and Cabo Pulmo is just a shining star in the Sea of Cortez. It's really something.
It really is. And the side, I've dove a lot of great places in the world. I have never seen the size of fish consistently that you see at Cabo Pulmo when you're diving.
That it's like they're on steroids.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty incredible.
And a lot of big fish.
And, you know, I can dive the same reef over and over and over, and it never gets boring because you never know what you're going to see. The different fish that migrate through there, it's just absolutely incredible.
And here it is right in our backyard.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So now are you kind of winding down on the dive operation? If our guys want to come and dive with Vista Seasports, are you going to still do that? Or?
Yeah, we're still doing it. With the economy being down and not getting as much traffic as we did, it's making it a little bit more difficult. It's actually probably better for the people that do come down.
Oh, yeah.
We're putting more emphasis on our sport fishing program now than we are on the dive program,
which is what you're talking about here today.
Yeah.
Genren sport fishing.
Yep.
If you see the nicest boats in the East Cape, you go, wow, that's a beautiful boat. You're seeing Mark's boat.
Yeah, and that's the God's honest truth.
Yeah.
Too. I mean, there's no question. I mean, it's a whole nother level.
Indeed. So tell us about Genren sport fishing.
Well, when I moved to the East Cape to fish, that's what really brought me down there. And I had my own boat that I used to fish on. I really didn't intend on chartering boats out. And about 7 years ago, I acquired a 31 Innovator. And after I acquired that boat, everybody wanted to charter it. And I kind of just started doing it part-time. And then there was more demand. And then there was more demand. And before I knew it, it just became a full-blown charter boat. And I enjoy it. Fishing is in my blood. I just love fishing. And then 3 years ago, I had the opportunity to buy this 35 Cabo. It's a fly bridge. And I really didn't think I'd charter it out because it was a little bigger, a little nicer than anything offered in the area. But with that, it would have to be a little bit more expensive. Well, it turned out that every client I had jumped off my Innovator onto the Cabo.
Cabo's a nice boat.
Beautiful boat.
Yeah.
Air-conditioned comfort.
Air-conditioned comfort, yeah. Oh, you like that, Jack, huh?
Oh, I like it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Goes well with the Gentleman Jack down below.
What?
The ice cubes don't melt.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, is Linda listening? She doesn't get up this early.
I say you're good for the first hour.
Safe zone right now.
So... now you have the 35 Cabo, and the two boats make up Genren Sport Fishing.
Yes.
Which you actually will operate if you're staying at Palmas de Cortez, you can charter Genren. If you're staying at Rancho Leonero, you can charter Genren Sport Fishing. Wherever you're staying in the East Cape, you can charter your boats.
We have a good working relationship with all the resorts on the East Cape, and it doesn't make any difference where you stay. You can book direct through us. You can book through their booking office. Just ask for us. It doesn't make any difference.
Okay, so if you call Rancho Leonero booking office and say, hey, I want to fish on the Genren, they'll book it for you.
They'll either book it or they will put you in contact with me and coordinate the whole thing.
So and the same thing at Palmas de Cortez.
Yes.
Yeah, very nice. What a nice service that is. And you're
centrally located right there in the middle of Los Barriles. Actually, I guess, are you in Buena Vista or Los Barriles?
I'm in Buena Vista. I'm on the line there, but I'm in Buena Vista. I look out my window at Palmas de Cortez.
Yeah.
And Rancho Linero's just a short way down the beach. Yeah.
Short way right down the beach. So what's going on in the East Cape? You just flew up here on Thursday.
It's typical winter. It's kind of cold and windy. The on days when it's calm, it's not bad. The yellowtail have started to show. Nice fish, 30, 35-pound fish.
Ooh.
But it's kind of like really hitting a moving target. They're there one day. They're gone the next. You just kind of have to try your luck. A few marlin have showed up also. But probably 4 or 5 days out of the week, it's just too rough to really get out there and have fun. But on the calm days, it's pretty good.
Nice. Yeah. Now, when did that change? When's the kind of the winds calm down and things get warmer in the East Cape?
Oh, the middle of March is when it really mm-hmm. starts to calm down. When people ask me, I tell them that our season is more or less from the best season is from Easter. It's kind of the kickoff to Thanksgiving. It's kind of over.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So beginning of April to right through the end of November.
Correct.
Yeah. Wow. Jack, you fish with Mark on Gen Ren Sport Fishing.
Yes, I have.
And I guess there's a few accurate reels on that boat.
Yeah, it's
CalStar rods.
CalStar rods, accurate reels, and Shimano, by the way.
Okay.
The Shimano.
Great.
In other words,
did you bring those down?
No, I don't have to bring anything down. The beautiful thing about Mark's operation is that you literally do not have to bring anything other than your personal gear. The gear on Mark's boats are as good as you would have yourself or better.
Really?
And so you can go with confidence. The line is correct and new. The hooks are sharp. The lures are ready. The rods are top-end CalStar stuff, accurate and Shimano.
Wow.
So I'm saying you can go there and just bring what you need. Bring your toothbrush, and you're on first-class operation. The boats are ready. They're clean. Mark makes you a hot lunch in the middle of the day. Seriously, yeah. Lasagna we've had, right. We've had quesadillas.
Wow.
It's a catered operation.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's really a very, very neat, unique operation down there.
Jack, you kept saying over and over, it's just done right. Like the tackle's right, the boat's right, the equipment, where you go, it's just everything. It's just one thing to not have to worry about.
Mark is such a huge pain in the butt for anybody like me that provides gear because he will let you know in a heartbeat if it's not perfect.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I really love diving with Mark is, you know, diving can be a hazardous vocation, shall we say, or activity. And when you're diving with Mark, you know everything is top-notch in the gear. The regulator, the BC, the tanks are filled with good clean air and such like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then also, Mark has certified a lot of our listeners, too. Right there, you have like a resort course, right?
We do resort courses and we do full certification courses.
Yeah.
Either way, you can do like a one-day try-me thing or you can go through the whole certification process.
Yeah. And you're still going to continue that?
Yes.
Yeah. In addition to, where are you going to have time to do all this stuff?
I'm a busy boy.
Yeah. Right. Now, when somebody fishes aboard Genran, how often are you going to be aboard the boats?
Quite a bit.
Are you?
Yeah.
As either captain, deckhand?
Captain, deckhand, you know, absolutely 100%. When we operate two boats, I'm a captain on one of them. If we're only operating one boat, then I'll go along as a deckhand. Or if we have a deckhand and the boat's not too full, I'll go around and do photography also. I've started a weekly blog, and I do a lot of photography and post pictures of the fish that our guests catch every week and try to do a weekly report to keep everybody updated. It's difficult to get accurate information on accurate, not real.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very good. Good word.
You told me to throw that word in,
right?
So I'm
over and over and over.
Get it in there.
That's fine.
Accurate information on what's going on in the area. So you can get every week pictures of fish that were caught the previous week and exactly what's going on.
And what's your website?
TeamGenRen.com.
TeamGen, JenWren.com.
Right.
All one word. TeamGenRen.com. And so you can get, if you want to know what's going on right now in the East Cape, you just log on and check that out. And we'll get a link. I know we have a link to your Vista Sea Sports on our, it says East Cape Diving
on our website, but we'll make sure we get a link to Gen Ren Sport Fishing on our website,
well,
too.
Well, actually, I would appreciate that, but actually, if you click on that East Cape Diving now, it's going to take you to the Gen Ren
Sport Fishing.
There you go. I told you we're making more an emphasis on the sport fishing.
Oh, sure.
But on that page, there it says scuba and snorkel tours, and you can click on that, and it goes to the scuba diving page.
Now, let me ask you this. I got an idea. So what if a guy wants to fish and dive in the same day? Can we do that on Gen Ren?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
You can't go to Cabo Pulmo. It's difficult because to be in the marine park, it's a federal park, and you
gotta have
the boat
can't have the fishing gear on board.
Well, no, you can have the gear on board if you're not using it, but the boat has to be permitted to go into the park, and my dive pongas have special permits to go into the marine park.
Oh, I see.
So we would either have to switch boats. You'd have to meet the dive boat if you wanted to dive Cabo Pulmo, or there's a lot of other really good dive sites also. Cabo Pulmo is without a doubt the premier dive site in all of the Sierra Cortez.
Sure.
But Punta Pescadero, Punta Perico, Sorabo Island, there's outstanding diving in other locations
so
as
well.
So you
could do it.
You could do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I like it.
You got Pete's wheels turning there, Mark.
I like
Look
that
at
idea.
You guys drooling over here.
Get the full contingent of what's available in the East Cape. And the East Cape, the thing about the East Cape, you know, it's so close.
It's
You're
so
an
easy.
Hour and 45-minute flight to, and then another maybe less than an hour drive up to the East Cape, and you are in absolute paradise.
Yeah,
it's
a whole different world. It's so amazingly easy.
Yeah,
you hop really on the 10 o'clock flight, and you're having lunch. In the East Cape.
Yeah. And having a margarita at the bar at Rancho Leonero, Promise Take Cortez, either one.
You know, Pete, if we left right now, we could be there. Well, when the show's
over,
of course.
Over.
Yeah, when the show's over,
yeah.
We could be
We'd
there.
We'd have
in
to
time.
Check in online,
right.
Get to the airport, catch the 10:10 flight. We could be there this afternoon.
I'm
right?
in. I'm
the
in.
Margarita.
Yeah, I'm
what
in.
Seems to be the holdup there?
Yeah, I don't know.
We all haven't left yet.
Let's go. So, Jack, what's going on with Akron? I know we're going to be talking about Gen Ren Sport Fishing, but, man,
we
I know
have,
a
we
lot
have
of
new
our listeners
stuff,
want to
you know,
know,
coming out. As the, you know, we always try to have something for the Hall Show, and we got some nifty things that you're going to see.
Is Benny going to be at the Hall Show?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh.
He's my boss.
Just
and,
check.
And, right. No, Ben's going to be there. Ben's doing a great job for us. And we have the Halco lures now.
Yeah.
And
I'm going to take some of those and test them out at Pesca
test
Panama.
Test them out. They're really a high-quality Australian lure. They're all center-wired through the hooks. Very high-quality stuff. And you can go on our site, accuratefishing.com, and on that site, you hit the video button, and it'll take you to videos, including videos of Gen Ren Sport Fishing.
Oh, okay.
There's 10-minute short videos of several trips on Gen Ren, and then all other stuff, too, informative stuff. Ben's been doing things about knots and connections and hooks and all kinds of other things, not necessarily related to Accurate, but informational things that are kind of interesting. So accuratefishing.com.
That's cool.
Lots of good information there. And the Halco lures, you can check those out.
And Alcohol, you just came back from Puerto Vallarta, some good fishing down there.
Really good fishing down
there. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're
getting some big fish down there. We fished 2 days outside of the islands on the Cleophas Bank in El Banco. And, We didn't get the really big ones, but we got them up to about 110 probably.
Oh, is that
but
all?
Lots of 40s to 60s, but biting all day long and,
nice.
And chasing bird schools.
Yeah.
You know, that's a great venue too.
Oh yeah.
2 hour flight, you're down there 2.5 hours, and we fish out of a little marina called La Cruz, and it's outside of Puerto Vallarta, south of Punta Mita, and great area. And by the way. In that little town, I feel very safe. It's about a 40-minute drive from the airport, and there's a little town called Sayulita that's a little surf town.
Great little town.
Hang out and just enjoy the day. We even took one day off just to sit on the beach and watch the surf. Bring a surfboard, or you can rent a surfboard right there.
Yeah.
Really cool.
That's good,
really
cool stuff.
Yeah.
And 80-degree water.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Nice. So, speaking of safety, since you brought that issue up, a lot of people say, I don't want to travel to Mexico. I might get murdered or, you know, beat up or something like that. Mark, you live in Mexico. You live in Baja in the East Cape for how many years?
21 years.
Wow. Do you feel safe there?
Very.
Yeah. You feel safer there than when you come up here to the United States?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
We sleep with all it's funny when we have guests that come stay at our house or we have a guest house next door, because they go in for the night and they bolt everything down.
Right.
And we have all our doors and windows open. We never close a thing. I leave my keys in my car. That's just the lifestyle that we live, and I
sure.
love it, and we've never had any difficulties. So you go out and walk on the beach if you want to walk on the beach. You can, you know, in the middle of the night, there's no concern for your safety. And all the stuff that I hear just kind of cracks me up. And I guess that maybe it does happen in some places, but
Well, the way I always like to say it, if you're not a policeman or a drug dealer, you're pretty safe in Mexico.
Pretty safe.
Yeah. So those of you that are policemen and drug dealers – or Mexican policeman. I guess you're an American policeman, and you're fine. You know, just don't bring your badge, right? You're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a safe place.
Yeah, but, you know, it's common sense again, just like it is at home.
That's it.
You know, you don't put yourself into silly situations you don't need to be in, and that's just common sense. That's what you do in our own country.
Wow. Jack, such an amazing guy. Just really miss that guy a lot. Okay, we're going to move on now to the same year, 2012. It's Fred Hall Showtime. And we have, from the show just before the Long Beach show in 2012, the show March 4th, 2012, with Bart Hall live from the Long Beach Convention Center, and then John Ireland from Rancho Leonero in Baja's East Cape. It's a traditional show that we always do with Bart and John just before the Long Beach show. So here it is from March 4th, 2012, John Ireland from Rancho Leonero and Bart Hall from the Fred Hall Show.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hook Up on XX 1090. So we always say it every year. It's like, oh, man, it's getting close to the show. It's getting close to the show. For me, it's officially. The show, like, starts today. You
starts
know,
today.
Talk to Bart, drive the trucks up. It's showtime.
Yeah, you're moving in tomorrow morning.
Yeah,
first
absolutely.
Thing, Fisherman's Landing Tackle,
we'll
right?
be there. You got
wow.
it.
Wow. So you move in tonight.
Start heading up, and then we'll be there first thing in the morning when doors open, setting up the big booth.
Home away from home, the Hyatt Regency for the next week, huh?
9 days, yeah.
9 days?
Yeah, nine days.
Wow. You guys are there for a while.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be our home, you know, on Saturday and Sunday. Next Saturday and Sunday, we'll be broadcasting live at the Hyatt Regency. Let's Talk Hook Up, our traditional show. Now, we won't be in the usual spot downstairs.
Really?
We'll be in our favorite spot, the bar.
In the bar, all right.
In the bar, yes. Upstairs in the lobby.
Cool.
In the lobby bar there, right in the lobby of the Hyatt Regency. You can't,
you can't miss that.
You can't miss us, right, Bart?
Absolutely. You have your regular spot there that you occupy every night.
Well, it's kind of a popular spot the previous night. And there's not a lot of people hanging out in the bar at 7 o'clock in the morning normally, but next weekend there will
absolutely.
be.
Absolutely. What's up, Bart?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Bart. And we have John Ireland here in the studio.
Good morning, John.
Morning, John.
Good morning, John.
Bart. It's our traditional show.
Yeah.
Are you ready, Bart?
No, we're not ready.
Well, are you going to be ready by Wednesday at 1 o'clock?
No, we think we're ready by Thursday or Friday. We'll be ready to open.
There you go.
Okay, well, we know the way it is, and you always put on the greatest show, and it will be. We should bring attention to our listeners that 1 o'clock is the start time this year rather than 2 o'clock, right?
That's right.
1 o'clock to 9 o'clock, Wednesday through Friday, and 10 o'clock to 9 o'clock on Saturday, and 10 o'clock to 7 o'clock on Sunday.
Yeah, wow, we're excited. It's going to be a great show.
It is going to be a great show. It's, you know, a lot of work went into this one. You know, we've been expanding the show. We changed the name of the show in 2011 to the Fred Hall Show, The Ultimate Outdoor Experience. And I think when you walk in this show this year, you're going to say, wow, this is the ultimate outdoor experience. There's everything there related to the great outdoors. There's fishing, boating, camping, hunting, sport shooting, diving, and travel, general travel as well as regular travel this year. John and Jen and Ginny and I went on a wonderful cruise through Germany from Amma Waterways in just before Thanksgiving. And those people are joining us this year, along with the Automobile Club of Southern California travel section, which is there promoting travel all over the world. So you can basically come to the Fred Hall Show, not just book fishing and hunting trips all over the world. You can book a fishing trip, a hunting trip, a safari, a cruise, whatever you want, all at the Fred Hall Show this year.
Wow.
That's awesome, amazing.
Bart. That's going to be an unbelievable. Well, of course, it's always been known for great travel places, and one of them, of course, is Rancho Leonero, one of our all of our places
favorite places
spot in the world.
Yeah. Well, and John, you just came back from Ranch Lane Arrow.
I did. Day before yesterday, came up and getting everything ready for the coming season here. It's been a good year. It's been water's a little warmer than normal, which bodes well, and we're getting our normal yellowtail bite right in front, which is always something we look forward to. But I'm looking forward to seeing Bart and the gang. They're coming down again this year, and I appreciate the great article too, Bart, that you put in the Western Outdoor News. I really do. Every year Bart writes a new article for me, and it's quite an accolade, you know, when you have the guy that runs the whole show. Bart can go anywhere he wants to go, and he chooses to come to Rancho Llanero year after year. That's special to me, and thank you, Bart.
Oh, no, thank you, John. That's an easy thing to do. It really is my favorite warm water fishing destination in the world.
Wow.
Thanks,
me
too.
All around the world. I haven't been to Australia, actually. I shouldn't say all around the world. But I've been most other places where warm water fish are caught, and there's just nothing like Rancho Llanero. I'm totally sold. And every year I say to the guys, you guys want to do something else? Nope.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's a pretty special place, and especially when you go in the spring there. I love the spring. That May, June time period, like when we do our trip in beginning of June there,
Spring is a really nice time of year. Something I might say about Bart and the guys, they're opportunistic fishermen. They are. Whatever's biting, Bart and the gang go for, and consequently they're always catching fish. He pointed that out in the article, and really if you go down there and you're not that particular about what particular species you're catching, you'll always catch fish. Yeah,
just have that open mind frame of, you know, hey, maybe we'll fish marlin this year, maybe we'll fish tuna, maybe fish big pargos and roosters off the beach.
I mean, right from triggerfish on up, because triggerfish are a hard tug.
Harder than anything else.
Pound for pound,
yeah,
they
no
tug
doubt.
Like crazy, and they're great ceviche. And Bart mentioned that, and that's really an unheralded fish, the old triggerfish.
Yeah.
Mexicans call them cuchi, puercos. Little pigs.
Little pigs. They are, too, right? They are. They'll eat anything.
Thanks again,
everything.
Bart. But thanks again, Bart. That's great.
John, I remember about 3 or 4 years ago we were there, and there was a group of fishermen, and we came in, and we had just slammed them all day. I don't know. I don't know how many fish we caught. We had 3 boats, and I have no idea how many. But we had pargo. We had triggerfish. We had all the nearshore species, and these guys had this dour look on your face, and they go, well, how'd you do? We did great. And so that night we fed them ceviche. We fed them whatever we caught that day. I remember that you cooked that night, and we had too much fish, so we brought it over to their table. And we made friends with those guys. But, you know, that's the thing. You know, you just got to – if the marlin aren't biting, go fish for something else.
People are funny. They have to have that boat ride, you know, and they drive over a lot of good fishing areas to get to wherever they're trying to go. In particular, outside, everybody wants the tuna, or the marlin, the billfish, and boy, they drive over that inshore fishing that's really spectacular in our East Cape. Actually, the one thing we are known for is the inshore fishing. It's all accessible in there on the lee, and that's really our forte. That's why we have so many superpongas, because we try to emphasize that.
That's your deal. And you know, you can, if you want to go for tuna, you want to go for billfish, of course, you know.
Absolutely.
As Bob Van Warmer always said, it's the Cortez is the famous fish trap, right?
Yeah, that was, yeah. It is a fish trap. It's known for it. And it's full of fish all the time. This year in particular, Bart, when you guys come down, hopefully the bait condition continues. Well, Jen and I were walking down the beach, and for 2.5 kilometers down the beach, it was packed with sardines.
That's so
dark,
cool.
Thick black,
clouded
up against the beach.
Wow.
And a lot of feeding going on and everything. Just fun to walk the dogs and watch all that going on.
Gotta love that.
So we got a lot of bait. Yeah, in particular, sardines.
That sounds
right
so good.
Wrong.
Man,
right
and wrong. Awesome.
So
I'm hoping to continue.
Yeah, the hotel's open again. You were closed January, February. Now you're open again.
Yeah,
ready for action.
Yeah, we're anxious for everybody to have a great experience at the ranch, and if they can't get out and go fishing, then we want everyone to be happy. So we shut down for the last couple months, and we're open now, and it's nice to be back open.
Ready to roll.
I don't have anywhere to eat at the hotel.
Over the last few years to get started, but it's finally caught some momentum, and you're going to see a quantum leap forward this year.
We're excited to give you this pre-recorded show, full 2 hours of it here on Let's Talk Hookup for Christmas Day. Thanks for spending Christmas a little bit of your Christmas with us today, and we sure appreciate you doing that. And I want to thank Christian and JP for running the board over at Sports Grid. And we'll be back next Saturday and Sunday. Next Saturday will be a live show. Captain Tim Ekstrom of the Royal Star will be with us New Year's Eve to wrap up 2022. And then next Sunday, we're going to do another pre-recorded show. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you next weekend right back here on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app.